The book of Matthew, please, chapter 5 and verse number 5. When you find that, on my far right, say amen. Okay? Middle, when you find it, say amen. On this side, when you find it, say amen. A little light in the middle here. It's a little light over there. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are with persecution, righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, please, we'll notice verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Our thought in brief tonight, the blessings of the mercies of God. Dear one, we can't say enough about God's mercies. In fact, if you study the scenario here, you'll see that mercy is the only one that when you get it, you are to give it. And if you don't give it, you won't receive it. So it's an essential, because in life, we're going to all need mercy sooner or later. Did you all know that? There'll come a time in life. It might be with the school system, the church, whenever, you're going to need some mercy. Briefly, the word mercy means to withhold punishment when justice is demanded. In fact, tonight, there might be some who might need to be a little bit more merciful. There was an individual whom I knew years ago, a certain place, somewhere else, and he was going on his honeymoon with his wife, and they had a flat tire, and he said, honey, we're going to teach you how to fix a flat tire. So he had his wife, it's a true story, fixing a flat tire in her wedding attire on the honeymoon on the way. That was not mercy, amen. No, wait, ladies can understand what they mean by that. You mean, I'm going on a honeymoon, but I'm going to teach you how to fix a tire. Blessed are the merciful. Lamentations 3:23 gives another scenario of the blessings of mercies of God. Lamentations 3:22. It says, the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy what? Faithfulness. Now, I'm sure we all have an idea of what mercy is to you. I'm going to give you my idea. I've never said this before in public. I'm among family and friends, right? Right? Let me make sure of that first. I was 13 years old. Bill Coles and I were in the garage in Detroit, and there were two dogs there and some four or five puppies. Winter time, so 8, 10 years old, we made a fire in the garage. Duh. And we put it out, went to bed that night, and I heard the garage is on fire, garage is on fire. I woke up, and the whole garage was in flames. And I saw my dad out there trying to put it out with a garden hose, you know. And it was so pathetic. When I came up, I was crying and just drunk with pain and sorrow. And he looked at me. He didn't say a thing. He just trying to put the fire out. Never brought it up again. He could have or shook me. I said, you're so stupid. He didn't say a word. He just turned his back. Then I put the fire out. See, but he could have really taught me a lesson that day about being more responsible. Could have taught me what foolishness I had done. But instead, he showed what? Mercy. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. In fact, I was my dad's pastor for 4 years. And that was a blessing. But see, what mercy is when you deserve punishment and don't receive it. But it's of God, and that's a good thing. That's why I want to give it and do what? Receive it. I want to be merciful. You never can go wrong being merciful. Can't go wrong by that. Amen. But some are so quick to judge or so quick to hurt, you can damage folks by not being merciful. Now, yes, there's a balance. We know that. But mercy is a good thing. I said mercy is a good thing. Because it rejuvenates. I'll never forget that day. That's been 50 years ago almost. But when I saw those eyes hurting, property burned down, this little nut, he never brought it up again in life. Never said any more about it. And then when that taught me, that was mercy. It cost thousands of dollars to get it torn down. Side note. The next day, went into the garage, and I saw those dogs dead. They had bit their tongues. They were such pain. And all dead on the ground. Nothing about that. He cleaned up the mess and went on. I thank God for mercy, don't you? So friends, again, mercy has to be received and given. And they're new from God every day. For a moment, think of the mercies God has given you down through the years. When you were driving that car sleeping and you woke up the car still on the road. You were, amen, sick that day and didn't know how you're going to make it. And God healed you. Amen. Then the boss on the job was on your back all the time. Then they transferred him. Amen. You wonder, Lord, how am I going to make it? And God made a way out of no way. Oh, my God. Thank God for what? Mercy, my God. Thank God for mercy. Because you can't earn it. You can't buy it. God got to give it to you. And if God give it to you, give it to what? Other people. Pass it on, thank God. Now, friends, there are some limits to mercy. There's a doctrine of mercy. And many people say, well, Brother Moon, mercy endureth forever. But there's more to it than that. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. And that gives us a clear demarcation of how to work with this idea of mercy. Because it's a beautiful thing, thank the Lord, when God gives you that mercy. All right, so Romans chapter 9 and verse number 15, we will read. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth what? Mercy. And of course, that wonderful verse, verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he hath mercy, and he will harden whom he will harden. So anyway, we can't make God merciful to us. We can't force it. He's got to give it to us. Unfortunately, some may presume on God. I want to introduce you to a man named Saul. Saul was Israel's first king. He was a tall guy, good family. Dad's name was Kish. He was a prophet sighing one day for God and good in battle. He had a wonderful son named Jonathan. And he was a pretty good guy all around for the most part. But to read about this, 2 Samuel 7:15, I think Saul knows more about mercy than any man who's ever lived on earth. He knows a lot about it. So let's find out about the mercy that this man's talking about and how he was able to work with it or not work with it through his life. 2 Samuel, please, chapter 7 and verse number 15. 2 Samuel 7 and verse number 15. Again, he had a lot of things going for him. He was a pretty good dad, had a wonderful son. But notice what the Bible says about this man Saul. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, who I put away before thee. See, when I've read the Bible over and over again for the past 15 years, and no other verse arrests my soul, knowing that this man had the mercy of God, and God said, I took my mercy from him. If God took his mercy from you and I, where would you and I be tonight? Then when some do it like it's guaranteed or it's due us, that is not true. God decides whom he gives and who he hardens. Well, Brother Moore, what happened? How did this man end up having mercy removed from his soul? Well, let's find out. I think one thing happened. God told him to go deal with the Amalekites. Did he obey God? Well, he did go, didn't he? But he didn't obey all of what God said. And that was one strike. Number two, he took the office of a priest, sacrifices. You can't do that. Uzziah tried that and got a leprosy. Marion tried that. Too much, take it on yourself. She got leprosy. And when he did that, that began to change some things. I believe Saul began to presume on the mercy of God. Father, help us tonight. I think he began to believe I could do a little bit of wrong and God will forgive me. I'll be all right. I mean, I can do some wrong, and I know if I just say, God, forgive me, he will forgive me, because that's due me. And then one again, God gives mercy as he wants to give it. We can't make him give mercy. And after so long, Saul, the mercy was gone, and Saul went, he lost his reasoning, became psychotic. Then he went to seek a witch. Where does she live? In Endor. You know how Saul died? Fell on his own sword and killed himself. Side note, you cannot commit suicide and go to heaven. Amen? Amen. I'll say it again. You cannot commit suicide and go to heaven. Amen. There was a preacher in Macon, about 40 years old. They had a big building program going on. He shot himself in the chest. Died on the spot. The preacher who preached his funeral said, look, we go through things sometime. We have problems sometime. And so believe it, the man went to heaven. No, sir. The Bible says, thou shall not kill. So then one, when we decide to do things that may not be altogether kosher and do it anyway, we are presuming on the mercy of God, just like Saul did. And that's a dangerous place to be. God's mercy is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing, but I don't want to waste it on my frivolous activities. Maybe God lets you know that website you've been going to, don't go there anymore. And you said, Lord, forgive me, I won't do it anymore. No more of that website. But something about those pop-ups that somehow you went back to it one more time. Then when don't you know that might be your last time for God's mercy? People don't believe that, but it's true. And he removed his mercy from Saul. Unfortunately, I've got friends of mine who decided to leave God. He came back to Bible study, sitting there. He said, Brother Moon, preach hard to me. Preach judgment to me. Preach, make me. But I can't make you. But somehow he went to Babylon and got mixed up. And he caught the HIV virus. And I saw him hanging around a Pee Wee football league. What he does now is prey on children. I said, parent, I'm going to call the police on you today if you don't leave this area. See, when people can serve God, but they fall down so far, the devil takes you farther than you want to go. He removed his mercy from Saul. And that changed Saul all the way around. He began trying to kill David, tried to kill his son, lied on his daughter, on and on and on and on, because the mercy of God was gone. It wasn't there anymore. He didn't know where he was. Totally lost, gone, demented, and depressed, and on his way to a devil's hell. And dear one, tonight, if we are not careful and prayerful, it can happen to me. It happened to you too. The mercy of God is precious. More than fine gold. The gold of Oprah is precious. And dear one, others need the mercy of God too. If you're not saved tonight, you are living on the borrowed time of the devil. You all know that. Case in point, there was a young man in Atlanta. He had been saved for about 8 years. 23, 25 years old, a couple of children, nice wife. He decided to go to a club just one night, just to go visit the club. And wouldn't you know it, he bumped into somebody. The guy got mad. The Christian went to his car. The guy came to his car and put 5 bullets in his body, one in his head, and killed him on the spot. Just one time. And the mercy of God was not there. What a testimony to live 8 years for God and die in a car in a bar. The merciful. Dear one, that's so needed to be a precious thing, because others need it. Our neighbors need it. Supervisors need it. Our children need it. So this evening, as I go through these verses, may God help us to remember, amen, the importance of enjoying God's mercy. He didn't have to do it, but I thank God he did. He gave us this to enjoy. I remember years ago, I was doing something that wasn't sin, but I sensed that God was just not, I didn't have his full approval. And I want God's approval, don't you, tonight? I want his approval. On everywhere I go, the way I drive, the amount of food I eat, I want to be have that on all of that. And it wasn't simple. I just sensed that God was not pleased with that. But he had what? Mercy. So then one day, it came to a head. I said, okay, Prince, what are you going to do? Because you can sense it's not glorifying God. It's not what it's about to be. See, when I had to cut that thing loose, because I can't gamble on God's mercy. Because I don't know how much he has given me or how much I have. I don't know. I'd rather just obey God, obey God's spirit, and let him take me on. It's precious. Luke chapter 16, verse 23. Brother Foster, can you read that for me out loud a little bit, sir? Luke 16, verse 23. So again, King Saul, he had a good son, Nice daughter. In fact, David married his daughter. He was doing so well for a while. But then as he began to turn, somewhere in that process, God pulled the mercy away. And then I wondered, did he sense that? Could he sense the darkness? Could he sense the loneliness? And I worked with the suicide prevention for about 4 years. And here in America, statistics say that 30,000 attempt suicide every year. Half of them under 50 years old. Half of those under 30 years old. In fact, in Japan, 70,000 a year commit suicide. Can you believe that? What happened? They got hopeless. They looked up and all they saw was just bottom. There was a darkness there. And Saul tried to get the Urim and the Thummim, dream, but God didn't talk to him, and he got hopeless because the mercy of God was gone. Dear, my prayer was tonight that that did not happen to you and I. That we would hold on to the mercy of God, give the mercy of God, no matter to who it is. Because when we give it, we receive more of it. And it's a very precious, precious thing. If you would please, sir, Luke chapter 16, verse 23.
And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
How many tonight believe in a literal hell? Amen. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, saints of God, a side note. Before I got saved, unfortunately, grew up in Detroit, and it was during the drug culture. So the devil swooped me up in that. I remember that night I came home and the whole room was spinning. Something said, if you died tonight, where would you go? And I knew I was going to go to hell. See, when hell's a real place, and when you close your eyes and not looking for God, that's where you end up. And the hell wasn't designed for us, but it was in his angels. But those who decide to presume on God's mercy and not obey him, they're going to open up their eyes in the devil's hell. That's too much for the human mind. Because they know what they could have been. Know where they could have been. They could have served God. They're going to do that, and they ended up. I'm not going to do that. How about you? To preach the gospel, sing the songs, then go to hell. That'd be too much, wouldn't it? Amen. People are in hell. They know they've been light songs. They know the gospel. But once you're there, that's it. Right. Read on, please.
All right. Get me a mic. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
The word tormented, when you translate that, it has an idea. And that idea is when they put people on the rack. The rack had two big wheels on it with ropes. They would hook those ropes to your hands and to your feet, and they would try to pull you apart. Think about that, having your hand sockets pulling apart, having your knees pulled apart. And it was a slow, tormenting pain that they did back then. Have that in mind there. So then when hell is a tormenting thing, I can't stand pain. How about you? Toothaches bother me. But to be down there in hell, but I know I didn't have to be there. That's the problem. They're living with regret. I did not have to be here. It could have been all different. But once you're there, you're there. But I don't believe in hell. We don't find out. Don't find out. If you don't find out. Because once you're there, that's it. They tell me they'll be partying down there. No, there'll be no party down there. No. If you want to party, do it here, but not down there. The Bible says he was in torments, plural, torments. What he could have been. Where he could have, because he knew better. In fact, all of us know better about some things. Titus 2 says what? The grace of God had appeared to all men, teaching them, denying in this present world. So we know better. And if I do not know better and don't do better, that's the issue. But if I do know better and don't, then that's sin. James says what? He didn't know if to do good. And what? Do what? Saints of God and friends, that must be a darkness to have God's mercy not on your soul anymore. That must be a chilling thing. I can imagine Saul had dreams at night. He ended up getting psychotic and tormented. In fact, God sent him that spirit. You all know that. And he was tormented and got believed by David's plane. But he tried to kill David, killing his help. Oh, what a bad dream to end up down there. Statistics say in the world every year, 50 million die every year. Can you imagine that in the world? And I wonder how many of those were saved. The Bible says many are called, few are chosen. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and what? Few to be found. And I'm sure there's some deacons in that group, preachers in that group. Unfortunately, I did a study about 10 years ago. I counted 25 Church of God ministers that had fallen. Devastating. Statistics indicate here in America, every Sunday, 150 ministers, pastors give up. 12,000 per year. Astounding. What happened? They presumed on God. They went for the grace that was not there. Ended up going down. Do you know the devil is a liar? You all know that. You can stay saved. You can serve God and rebuke him. But we got to submit to God and obey him, and it'll be all right. Praise the Lord. God will do his part. You all know that. We do our part, he will do his part. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So, friends, tonight, maybe you've not been merciful as you ought to be. Maybe at home, to wife, maybe to husband. Because we do get pressure sometime. It's not easy caring for children in this day and time. And Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. That's a beautiful prayer. Lord, have mercy. You know what's going on? Just have mercy. The schools today, they told me, Brother Moon, we see girls holding hands and kissing in the hallway. That was not done 30 years ago. That's a spirit. You all know that. And it's after our children. Lord, have mercy on my child. Have mercy on my son. Have mercy on my husband. Have mercy on our home, on our church. Just, Lord, plain old have mercy. The mercy of God. And God will hear that prayer. Amen. Now this man here was too late. Too late. Although he craved it, cried for it, begged for it, it was just too late. I want to cry now, don't you? I want to beg, Lord, have mercy now while I can. A crowd this size, the person next to you may not be here 2 years from now. Do you all know that? May not be here. The person in back of you may not be here next year. The person beside you may not be here even next week. In fact, you and I may not be here next week. So we got to do what we're going to do tonight and do it now. Put it behind you. Go forward. Close the door on it and go forward. And say, Lord, just have mercy. If you're saved, praise the Lord, for that's good too. Wonderful. Fantastic. But Lord, have mercy. Keep me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom what? He may do what? Where does he seek? In the church of God. In fact, he's seeking tonight. He's seeking right now. He's seeking whom he may devour, to eat up greedily. But mercy, thank the Lord. Yes, mercy, praise the Lord, to do the job. Mercy can forgive sin, sanctify, bless the marriage, put it back together, bless the home, bless the church, your finances, your home life. It can bless your car. A woman 2 weeks ago, her car broke down. She prayed for it and started up again. Praise the Lord, the mercy of God. It works. It works. Our heater went out at the house. We didn't have heat for about 2 weeks. My wife got up and prayed for the heater. And guess what happened? It's still working, I trust. Mercy. Dude, mercy is a good thing. So tonight, while we have time, somebody might be on the edge of this thing, trying to hold on, trying to stay afloat, but they feel the world pulling. Maybe it's school friends that are affecting you. Have you sinned? No, but the influence is strong. You can feel that in the school or in the lunchroom. You feel that. Maybe a neighbor. You can feel that. And you're on the edge. Lord, have what? Mercy. Not a long hour prayer tonight, but just Lord, have mercy. And dear one, again, if you're not saved tonight, you need mercy tonight. If you don't want to get saved, at least say, Lord, have mercy. That will cost you nothing. Because we don't join church here, amen. But Lord, just have mercy. Let's stand tonight. And maybe you have not been merciful as you should. Lord, help me to be merciful. Merciful. In my finances. Dealing with my neighbors. In the church. Wherever I am. To be merciful. Because I don't want to end up like Saul. What a verse. Withheld his mercy from him. And no hope. After that, that was it. Persona non grata. That was it. No more. For King Saul. The one tonight, the devil knows if he could push us to that point. For whatever reason, he's got a victory on that. So tonight, is there one? God has mercy for you. And if you're not saved, can I pray with you? Just you and I take time to pray about that. You don't have to be embarrassed. You're around family and friends. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Because salvation is good. I tried the world for about 20 plus years. I've tried this for 50 years, almost 30, 40 years. And it's wonderful. You can't compare the two. And the best thing I know is salvation. I want to share that with you. If you're not saved, come on down. And if you are saved and want help, now's the time. Because we don't have tomorrow. We never know what tomorrow might bring. Yesterday's gone, but we do have right now. Is there a number?
Page 486.